North Rock Podcast.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Melissa. Hey, how many of you guys are thankful today? No, I'm good, thanks. For creatives in our midst, right? Like, I would have never thought of coloring circles in the foyer as a way of celebrating Easter, but I'm glad that we're doing it, and I'm glad that I get to do some coloring, because my girls, they don't think that I color very well, so I'm going to use it as practice, right? I'm going to use it as a redemptive practice. Well, it's really good to be with you this morning. We are finishing up a series that we've been doing here out of the book of Matthew that we've called Everyday Discipleship, and we're looking at the lives of the disciples as they follow Jesus in the book of Matthew, and relating that to what it's like for us as Jesus' disciples in today's world to live out that very same pattern of pursuing him and following him and watching what he does become what we do, right? Everybody following along with that? And today my title is called Called to All. Okay, so I know that might sound duplicitous in that my last message was called to a few, but we are called to a few and we're called to all, right? And so we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, looking at one of the many, many, many miracles that Jesus did as his disciples went about life in living it out as naturally supernatural followers of him. But again, for me, in today's society, I want to be a person who follows and participates in the miracles of the miracle maker. Anybody else with me this morning? Right? That I don't want to be that guy, that pastor, that dude, that person that talks about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but can't point him to anything that's happened in the last couple of centuries, right? So I want to be those that are comfortable in walking in the natural, supernatural realities of what the Holy Spirit presents in the life of a follower of Jesus. Amen? I'm already preaching. We haven't even gotten the text yet, right? So again, this isn't just your pastor being excited. This isn't just me thinking about, wow, wouldn't that be cool? This is really what Jesus intended for those that would follow him, right? Do you guys remember in John chapter 14, verse 12? He said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and that I've been doing, and they will do even greater than these because I go to the Father," right? That is a profound statement, isn't it? And it's one that I want to live out, and I hope that you do too as well. So let's go ahead and pray, and let's dive into the scriptures, see what we can glean, see what we can learn, see how the Lord will speak to us today, okay? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your power, and your provision in our lives. Lord, we recognize that that we are the embodiment of your gospel in this world. That the Lord, the way that we walk this out in pursuit of you as we're called to be your disciples is really the witness and the will of our Father as we intersect and do life with those that come into our midst. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and Lord, help us to be the hands and the heartbeat for who you are in this world, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to see if my clicker is going to cooperate with me today. I see the red. Now I see the green. Green, red. Pretty simple. There we go. All right. So call to all. Jumping in right now, in verse 13, it says, "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he had headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy some food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'That isn't necessary. You feed them.'" But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Jesus said, bring them here. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up towards heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. Pay attention to that right there. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and the children. Okay, did you guys follow along that story a little bit? I'm sure it's not the first time we've heard this before. We've heard it in Sunday school. But again, what I want to be is someone who experiencing these kind of miracle moments in my life, right? I call this one the miracle meal, right? So I know there's some moms in this place that have a lot of little mouths to feed that would kind of like to see that math work for us at some point, right? That's for sure. That's for sure. And I thought for those that maybe are less linguistically inclined and more mathematically inclined, that an equation of what we just read might be helpful this morning. So I made one up for you. And again, if you are a mathematician, like, please forgive me. Like, this is like writing another language for me, okay? But basically, what we just read is that, okay? It's like something that my child has to interpret to me now. But 5L plus 2F times J is greater than 5,000M plus WCX equals B12. Okay? So on that, we're going to close. Okay? I'm going to leave you guys going, man, he confused me even more than he normally does today, right? Yeah, so exactly. It all makes sense now, right? So again, the idea is in this miracle math equation or in this miracle meal that we just read about from Matthew, the disciples brought 5 loaves, okay? I mean, even if we said they're like the Subway six-foot sub loaves, right? Plus 2 fish, and I don't care how big the fish is, like they were all there meeting together. Like they had to have it in their possession in a basket or under their jacket or something, right? It's not like it was Moby Dick. And the whale lives there on the shore, right? It's greater than 5,000 men being fed, plus the women and children in the crowd, which who knows how many of those were there. And I know that there are theologians that argue back and forth on, well, what did the men represent? Why didn't they count the kids and the women? Can I just say there was a big enough crowd that they probably couldn't, right? It's 5,000 plus equals B12. B12. And B12 is an important part of this equation. Why? Because we can get hung up on the math, right? We can get hung up on the, what kind of fish was that, right? Like, that's a huge fish. But the part that makes that encouraged me the most about who our Father is and His concern, not just for the few, but for all, right, is that B12. Because it says that after they divided those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, that the disciples went back through after everybody had eaten to be content, and they gathered 12 baskets of the leftovers. Now, I know we got some leftover friends in this place, right? Like, leftovers are the good stuff. Like, that's, you always hope to have a party, eat with people, but that, you know, some of the good stuff still left over, right? Can I just tell you that when we're walking in the miracles of Jesus, there's always something left over. That there's always enough for Him to accomplish what He wants to do in the midst of His people if we'll take a few cues from what we see in this story, right? So the miracle meal moment. How can we experience these types of miracles? First off, I just want to get a witness in here. Can we get a witness today? How many of you guys believe this is something that Jesus did in His ministry, right? How many of you guys believe that it's true, John 14:12, that He intends to continue to do these kind of everyday miracle moments in people's lives, right? That's who He is and that's what He wants to do. And just the same way that miracle was carried out through His disciples, Jesus intends to carry out His miracles through those disciples in our midst now, right? How many disciples we have in the house today? Yeah, I got Melissa. That's good. It's good. It's good. We're doing well this morning. Okay? I love the dynamic of the story, and we're going to jump into it. And I just got five things that kind of stood out to me in this story that I think might be encouraging to you. I know it's been encouraging to me as I've studied and looked at this this week, that will help us identify and participate in these miracle meal moments as we move forward, okay? So the first one is simply this. The miracle meal moments can present themselves at pretty inopportune times, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It's like I'm busy, I'm doing this thing, I'm running to this place, I got all this stuff that needs to happen, and Jesus whispers in your ear like, hey, you need to pay attention to that person. Or hey, you know, your neighbor, you know, it'd be a good time to connect with them. Or hey, you know, or fill in your own blank, right? Miracle meal moment opportunities can happen at very inopportune times. That's what's going on in this story, right? Jesus was just told of what had happened to John the Baptist, right? And he's withdrawing to kind of work through some of that. And while they're trying to get away from the crowds see him going, and they kind of walk around and meet him on the shore when he gets to the other side. And the disciples, you can see they're a little ticked. They're going, hey, come on, give the guy a break, right? He needs some time to refresh. He needs some time to re... And Jesus says no, because being called is called to all, right? He said that he had compassion on them. Said that he could see that they needed compassion, and he healed their sick, right? So can you not only see Jesus' eyes for that, but can you see the posture of the disciples, right? A little bit worried as dinner time started to come around, right? It's like at first they're like so excited. Man, look at these crowds. It's amazing. This is so cool. We didn't even advertise this thing. And the crowd showed up anyway. And then as dinner started to come, they started to get a little worried. They started to get a little concerned. They started to say, gosh, who's going to feed all these people? Because all I've got is, you know, a couple of loaves and some fish here. Okay, so miracle moments can occur, but they present themselves at inopportune times. Okay, the second thing that stands out in the story for me in verse 16 is that miracle moments can happen when we hear and we hang with Jesus, right? How many of you guys believe that Jesus is a miracle-making God even today? That he is the miracle maker, right? And so when we hang with him and we spend time with him, we're bound to experience these moments of awkwardness at times, right? Where we're going, okay, God, how are you going to pull this one off? Because I'm looking in my basket and I got a couple of fish and five loaves of bread and I'm kind of hungry, right? And I'm not so sure that we can feed all these people. Maybe we should just send them away. See, miracle moments happen when we hear and we hang with Jesus. That's his desire, that's his intent, and that's his purpose for our discipleship, that we would more and more and more understand who he is and live out the truth of what he is, right? So what does it take for us to go from just seeing our 5 and 2 in the front end of that equation to experiencing the leftover 12 baskets, right? A little something called faith, right? Any faith in the house today? I know I'm making you work with me today a little bit, but I'm feeling more preachy today than teachy, so you got to work with me here, okay? So these things happen when opportune times occur, when we hear and we hang with Jesus, and thirdly, they happen and they come. These miracle moments occur or come when disciples see themselves or ourselves, see our stuff and the crowd as Jesus does, right? And really, that's the premise of this message, is that we are called to all. We're called to all around the world, the whole gospel going out to the whole world, right? That's who we are as a people. That's like the tattoo that's on a follower of Jesus' life. That we're called to all. And the miracle meal moments happen when disciples choose to see ourselves, our stuff, and the crowd as Jesus does. Is that too direct? Is that too plain Jane English today, right? Think about it. If we're going to live like disciples, we've got to see ourselves as disciples. In other words, that identity marker, that trait, has to be the most important dynamic in how we see ourselves. So as you sit there today, forget about this, forget about what I'm doing, forget about, how do you view yourself today? Do you view yourself as a disciple of Christ first and foremost, or do we view ourselves as maybe our title at work, or maybe this particular role that we have, or maybe, you know, the old high school quarterback that should have gone to state, but the coach never put you in, right? How do you view yourself? Because if we're going to experience the everyday, supernaturally natural moments that Jesus has for us, we've got to see ourselves as disciples first. What does a disciple do? A disciple, by the very definition, follows Jesus. Gets in his hip pocket, follows him around, gets in his word, practices the things that he teaches and shows us to do, right? That's what a disciple does. A disciple wakes in the morning and says, okay, God, what are we doing today? Where are we going? What's happening? What do we need to do? Right? So first we have to have that lens of seeing ourselves as Jesus says we are, right? Isn't that what he said? He says, I've come so that you may have life and have it abundantly, right? And that you would follow me and that you would do even greater things than I do. Do you guys know that together we do things greater than what Jesus does? It's not always about our individual gifts, but sometimes it's just the collective effort of our faithfulness and our willingness to be disciples in the midst of a culture that may not think being a disciple is very cool at the moment, right? We want to see ourselves as disciples. Second, we need to see our stuff as Jesus' stuff, right? Can I just tell you that one of the hardest areas of our lives, myself as pastor included, to get discipled, to bring under the authority of Jesus, is our money, our stuff, our things, right? Put yourself in the position of the disciples. Like, I got 5 loaves and I got 2 fish. There's 5,000 people looking at me. That's a heavy moment, right? Like, that's like, who? What are we going to do? I don't know. What's Jesus say? You give them something to eat. So I don't think Jesus is very good at math, right? I mean, if you're in that moment and we're truly honest people, and we're sitting in that group of disciples, and I got 2 fish, and you got 5 loaves, or we got 5 loaves amongst us, and there's 5,000 people out there going, oh, man, I'm hungry. We'll probably try to take the chicken away like the disciples, right? But the most important part of that equation, the most important part of any disciple's life is that faith moment where we realize plus Jesus changes the equation. Plus Jesus changes everything, right? It changed everything in our own spiritual journeys. It can change everything in the midst of a culture that desperately needs Jesus and that certainly would benefit from seeing a few of his miracle moments occur in their lives, right? How many of you with me can believe that God can do a miracle moment in our lives and the people that he's called us to influence in these next days and weeks and months ahead, right? That's what the Easter miracle is all about. It's not about the historical blah, blah, blah. It's about Jesus being alive today and in the midst of his people who by faith would say, I got a couple of fish. I got a few loaves. And Jesus can do what Jesus can do, right? That's what faith is all about. It's about being a part of a community known for discipleship. So we got to see ourselves as Jesus calls us. We got to see our stuff as Jesus says our stuff is. And then we got to see Jesus, the crowds as Jesus sees the crowds. If you're paying attention at all in the world today, whether it's the news, the world events, what's happening in our schools, what's happening all around us, there are really one of two positions that we can see, two lenses we can look through, right? The lens of judgment of, well, you know, this reason, blah, 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 that happened to them. Or we can see with the eyes of Jesus, the way Jesus sees the crowd and say, they're mine, I love them. I'm called to all of them. And I can make a difference in their lives. Like those are two completely different ways. The seat of judgment, which I certainly don't want to be in, right? Or the seat of what we see in the story, compassion, loving kindness, mercy, the Holy Spirit given to us to live out that in the midst of the people that we come in contact with. So, miracle moments can happen if we see ourselves as disciples, see ourselves as Jesus sees us, see our stuff as Jesus sees it, and see the crowd as Jesus sees it, right? Verses 17 and 18, go look at it for yourself, okay? But the good news of what I'm talking about today is that the raw materials for the miracle of 5,000 people being fed is already in their possession in this story, right? Can I just suggest today that the raw materials for the miracle that you're counting on, the miracle that you're praying about, the miracle that you're contending for is already in your hand. It's already in our midst. It's already in this place, right? That is who Jesus is and how Jesus rolls. That's disciple placing their faith in the omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God that changed the dynamics of that day, right? I mean, it could have been really easy for those disciples to just limp out of there. Be like, man, that was good teaching that Jesus did. All right, send them away so we can eat. Nope. What's this miracle teach us? It teaches us that Jesus is all-sufficient to meet not just spiritual needs, but physical needs as well, right? That is how Jesus is all-sufficient, but that Jesus also chooses to do it through his disciples. Right? Did you guys catch that in the story? Jesus could have easily just went, and made all kinds of fish on everybody's plates and be like, bing, oh, that was awesome. But he doesn't. He says, you feed them something. Right? And then he says, bring it to me. So he says, disciples, you're going to do it, but bring it to me first. And once you bring it to me, then we're going to do it together, but I'm going to do it through you. Okay? Another way to think about it is simply this, that our lives as disciples is the meal that people are going to eat from. You guys ever think about it that way? That's Jesus who provides it, but as his disciples, we are the ones who provide the meal for others in our lives, right? So come, miracle moments can occur. They present themselves at inopportune times. They happen when we hear and hang with Jesus. They come when disciples or followers see ourselves, our stuff, and the crowds as Jesus sees them. And they occur when disciples do what Jesus says, what Jesus does, and places what he has put into our hands back into his hands, right? Let's say it this way a little bit better. That these miracle moments occur when disciples do what Jesus does and place what we have in his hands. Right? That's what we see in the dynamic. They went from fear of, oh my gosh, oh, what's going to happen? All these people are hungry. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed by the situation. I'm overwhelmed by the needs that I see. I'm overwhelmed by the pain in the world. I'm overwhelmed. And we all live there, right? But then they turn to Jesus and do what he asked them to do. See themselves as his disciples, place what he's entrusted in their hands, and then watch him do the miracle of multiplication in their midst. Can I just tell you that sometimes when I introduce a title like this, like call to all, like I can see the little sweat beads in the congregation a little bit. Like, oh no, here comes the annual evangelism conversation, right? Like the conversation with your parents when you're growing up, right? Here comes the talk. It's Easter. They're going to want us to invite people and include people in our lives and partner with people, right? Can I just say, we think that should happen all the time, right? Not just sometimes, but all the time. But I can tell you, it feels overwhelming to say, we're called to all. And then we look around and we go, but. And Jesus says, yeah, I know. I got you. Plus Jesus changes the equation, right? Plus Jesus changes the equation. Multiplying Jesus into whatever need, whatever situation, whatever challenge, whatever issue that you're facing right now changes the end result. Finally, the last point I want to make today, as you've been so kind to listen to me preach to myself and share what I've observed as I've sat on this text this week. As the results in the needs being met, miracle moments result in needs being met, satisfied disciples, and more than enough to go around. Like, that's the Jesus factor right there, y'all. Right? Think about it. Break it down just a little bit. Verses 20 and 21 says that everyone ate and were satisfied. In other words, it's God's heart that everyone would eat and be satisfied. Right? That would happen through his disciples, through those that follow after him. It also led to satisfied disciples. I love that piece of it because they go from these fearful folks of God, how do we control this thing and how do we dismiss people in an orderly manner without feeding them and how do we hold on to our five and our two to, okay, God, we're putting it in your hands and watching you do a radically incredible miracle that we're still talking about all these years later, right? But can I just tell you that the least satisfied disciples in the world are the ones that look at the miracles of Jesus in the text but aren't experiencing them in their day-to-day lives. Can I just tell you that Jesus has his miracle waiting for you? This Easter season, this resurrection season, that your miracle is awaiting. It's there. It's waiting. Keep contending. Keep praying. Keep putting it back in Jesus' hands. Keep coming back to him to get his perspective. Keep following after him as he goes out into the deep, as he goes out into the areas that might be a little scary to us. That is the intersection where our theology and practical discipleship meet, right? Is in that moment of, oh no, this is kind of scary stuff. Huh? If God doesn't show up, what's going to happen? Right? But that's what discipleship's about. That's what following Jesus is all about. And the part that I love the most, because I, you know, some of you guys know my story. I grew up in a pretty rough situation. My dad committed suicide when I was 10 months old. My mom has been stuck on different drugs for most of my entire life. Lots and lots and lots of different stepfathers, lots of different negative interactions growing up. And so I've always had a battle of poverty mentality where I'm just going to wake up one day and then, like, you know, you're going to wake up and it's going to be a different house. You're going to wake up and there's this, right? It's somehow this is going to go wrong and I'm going to have to start all over and this whole thing's going to happen, right? That's something that I've had to work through over these last years of my life. But the part that I love about this story that stands out the most to me isn't just what role we play in it. It's that God is a generous God and he has the ability to meet all needs and have 12 baskets left over. Right? So the only way we move past maybe a poverty mentality like I was just describing of some of my history, where you're always going, oh gosh, is there going to be enough? I don't know. And say, God, I'm placing what I have in your hands. And that's my only responsibility. To show up, to be a disciple, to follow your lead, and to see all the way you see all. Amen? That's what the church is all about. So, all of that to say that God is still in the business of taking our raw materials and making miracles when we place it back into his hands. And it happens more readily often when we're inspired by Jesus' concerns for the needs of a weary people, right? That's what it said. It said that he had compassion on a weary people, on the crowd that was there. And it says that they all ate and were satisfied, and that the care of the disciples in that was that they still had all of their needs met as well. They started with five and two. They ended with 12 baskets. That's a pretty cool transaction, isn't it? So we're living out his miracle meal as disciples. When we stop and we have communion, this is the miracle that we're talking about. Right? That's part of it. It's the first time that he gathered, multiply that meal out for people. It's a sense that we are that meal and that we get to participate in his miracle working world. Okay. So all that to say, I wanted to show a video to you of some things that have been going on here at North Rock over this last year. As you've seen, we're doing some rebranding. We're trying to get some things a little clearer in the mission and the work of what we're called to do in the midst of the season of this church's life. And I know, like, most people don't get excited. We're like, ooh, pretty logo, right? Or ooh, right? But we're doing that as a refocus on the three things that we know that God's called us to do and that we see in this story. We gather, we grow, and we go on mission for Jesus. So would you please just watch this video with me? And then I'll have the worship team up to close. Man, glory to God, right? Hey, part of why I show that to you is not just to say we are hearing a clarifying call from the Lord for this next season. It's also to celebrate his faithfulness to us as we bring our two fish and five loaves before him, right? Your participation in this community of faith is what allows all that to happen. I hope that for many of us that are sitting here today, something in that stood out to you like, wow, I didn't realize that was part of our impact. Can I just tell you that that is part of how Jesus is feeding the 5,000 through the gifts that he makes available here. So as just a follow-up from our annual business meeting, I wanted to take time publicly with the whole group, with all the disciples gathered here at North Rock to say thank you for your ongoing faithfulness to trust Jesus and to continue to pursue his great commission in this world. If you have questions about where your resources are going in this church, we put together a great document here, just our 2017 annual report. If you'd like to know more about that, you can get those out in the foyer. But with that being said, I'd like everybody to just stand with me. I'm going to have the worship team play through this new song one more time. But as we think about this miracle in the making, this miracle of God calling us to all, would you see yourself in that story? Would you just take a few moments as we sing together, as we worship the Lord of hosts, the times Jesus factor? Would you remember the miracles that you need, the miracles that you're believing God for are just sitting right there in the raw materials of what exists? Let's pray and let's worship. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this season, for this community. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our midst. And Lord, we readily stand before you with hands open, saying, God, we can only do what you do through us as you put things into our hands. But Lord, we recognize that we are not the X factor in this equation. You are. And so, Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to follow you. Help us to release the work that you've called us to do in the midst of the 5,000 you've called us to. Lord, we know that it's overwhelming to think about how do we reach all. But Father, based on that video, you are reaching all in miraculous ways. So thank you for calling us to this place. Thank you for calling us your disciples. And Lord, we do. We want to be a people who stand in faith and say, yes, Lord, even greater things we're believing for in the coming season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, as we gather together, as we grow together in our discipleship, Lord, we also commit ourselves to go together. That, Lord, as you send us out from this place, Lord, help us to see with your eyes. Help us to live with your free resources in our midst. And, Lord, help us to see the miracle of multiplication in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, if the Lord encouraged you at all today, would you give him a clap offering? Would you just say, God, you're good. You're faithful. We trust you to be our X factor. Amen? Amen. So this is your first time with us here. This is the first time you've heard a message like this. It says that plus Jesus, it changes the equation of your life. We pray a prayer here every week that we pray as a community because we believe that we're called to be both individuals and communities on mission with Jesus. So let's pray that, and then we'll dismiss. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord, for being the bread of life, right? Hey, God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock. If you could use prayer for any need in your life, we have a team available for that. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to meet you. I've got a gift to help you get started in this journey with Jesus, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.